History has become a battlefield in America's culture wars. Myth America arrives at a critical moment when the line between fact and fiction has dangerously blurred. While misinformation has always existed in public discourse, recent years have witnessed an unprecedented assault on objective truth. This deterioration stems from two major shifts: a conservative media ecosystem that prioritizes engagement over accuracy, and a political landscape where conspiracy theories often trump empirical evidence. History has become a primary battleground, with particularly intense conflicts over how America's past should be understood and taught. What makes today's battles fundamentally different from previous historical debates is the wholesale rejection of shared empirical reality. We're no longer simply arguing about interpretation, but witnessing the denial of basic documented facts themselves. American exceptionalism reveals more about our national psychology than our actual history. Originally an analytical concept suggesting America represented an exception to normal historical patterns, it has morphed into a prescriptive term in political discourse, referring to American superiority rather than mere difference. The concept makes little analytical sense when examined closely. Most nations can be considered exceptional in some way, and few contemporary discussions demonstrate that America truly deviates from significant international norms. Ironically, the term originated not in patriotic discourse, but in communist debates of the 1920s. Between 1985 and 2010, American exceptionalism underwent a remarkable transformation, jumping from academic discourse to mainstream political rhetoric. Its very vacuity has proven to be its strength. It functions as an empty vessel that can be filled with whatever content is politically expedient while flattering American self-image. Those who misunderstand the founding inevitably misread the Constitution. Contrary to popular belief, George Washington, not James Madison, was the true father of the Constitution. When the Philadelphia Convention met in 1787, Washington was universally revered, while Madison was relatively unknown. The Constitution reflected Washington's geostrategic vision of a strong, indivisible Union capable of defending against European powers. Having witnessed the Continental Army's near collapse under weak central authority, Washington advocated for robust federal powers. The Constitution's most distinctive element, an unprecedentedly powerful chief executive, was clearly designed with Washington in mind, while most of Madison's pet projects were defeated. Another myth claims the framers believed in republics but disdained democracy. Despite language in Madison's Federalist No. 10, contemporary writings show most founders use these terms interchangeably. Equally dangerous is the false claim that the Constitution was indeterminate on secession, demonstrably untrue based on both its text and contemporary understanding. For centuries, the vanishing Indian myth absolved settlers of guilt by portraying imperial violence as virtue. After the War of 1812, this narrative spread widely, justifying America's anti-indigenous policies. Federal officials were shocked when indigenous people, supposedly destined to disappear, continued adapting and fighting. In 1876, Arapaho, Cheyenne, and Lakota warriors destroyed Custer's 7th Cavalry. The Indian Wars continued until federal troops massacred hundreds at Wounded Knee in response to the Ghost Dance revival. Despite settler colonialism's challenges, Native nations increasingly fought for recognition on their own terms. Contemporary writers like Gerald Weisenor, who theorized survivance, and David Truer explicitly reject the notion that Native cultures are dead and civilizations have been destroyed. American presidents routinely deny imperial status, yet this contradicts historical reality. By definition, a country with colonies, the United States has been and remains an empire. By 1791, around 45% of American land consisted not of states, but territories under federal control. While the Northwest Ordinance established a pathway to statehood, territories averaged 45 years before becoming states. The United States also engaged in administrative colonialism abroad, acquiring Spanish colonies through the 1898 war while annexing Hawaii and American Samoa. Colonial rule often met violent resistance, particularly in the Philippines, where the Philippine-American War killed 775,000 Filipinos by 1903. This empire continues today with Puerto Rico, Guam, U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, and Northern Mariana Islands remaining unincorporated territories containing over 3.6 million people who lack full constitutional protection and representation. When Donald Trump revived America First in 2016, he tapped into a slogan with a dark history. The phrase originated with the nativist know-nothings of the 1850s and has consistently served as code for domestic bigotry rather than foreign policy. Throughout the late 19th century, it expressed fears of Catholic and foreign conspiracies. When the America First Committee formed in 1940, Charles Lindbergh became its spokesman, delivering eugenicist speeches praised by Nazi press. After Pearl Harbor, the slogan rapidly fell into disrepute. White supremacism remained intrinsic to America First through George Wallace's 1968 campaign and David Duke's advocacy since 1976. Following Trump's 2020 defeat, Republicans Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Paul Gosar formed an America First caucus, partnering with Nicholas Fuentes, a Christian nationalist Holocaust denier. Their platform, endorsing uniquely Anglo-Saxon political traditions while opposing mass immigration, reveals how the slogan continues to function as an ethno-nationalist dog whistle. Our national immigration debates focus almost exclusively on the U.S.-Mexico border, with oversimplified narratives of crisis and conflict. Both political perspectives perpetuate the myth that undocumented immigration and the border are inextricably linked, obscuring a deeper truth. While portrayed as dangerous and dysfunctional, the border is primarily a place of creativity, community, and connection. The borderland existed as a unified ecological and cultural space long before modern political boundaries, with indigenous peoples developing sophisticated trading networks across vast distances. Despite increasing militarization, the U.S.-Mexico borderland remains a zone of cultural exchange and economic interdependence. Over 15 million people live within 62.5 miles of the border, with millions crossing legally each year for education, work, shopping, and family visits. With Mexico as America's second largest trading partner, $47.5 billion monthly, border communities have developed sophisticated systems for managing this massive flow of people and goods, demonstrating that cooperation, not conflict, is the true hallmark of border life. Despite claims that socialism is un-American, socialist movements have a long, influential history in the United States. Socialists have advocated for reforms now considered mainstream: women's suffrage, Medicare, minimum wage laws, workplace safety regulations, and civil rights. Notable Americans like Ralph Waldo Emerson, W.E.B. Du Bois, Helen Keller, and Martin Luther King Jr. embraced socialist ideals. Ironically, their success often limited socialism's growth, as politicians co-opted their ideas, with both major parties shifting left during the Progressive Era to neutralize the socialist threat. Socialists played crucial roles in movements shaping the New Deal through labor strikes and artistic contributions. Since the 2008-2009 recession, socialism has revived significantly. The Democratic Socialists of America has grown tenfold to nearly 100,000 members. Bernie Sanders ran competitive presidential campaigns and now chairs the Senate Budget Committee. Over two-fifths of Americans and a majority of young people view socialism positively. By 2021, some 101 DSA members held office nationwide, double what the Socialist Party achieved a century earlier. This progressive tradition continues to influence American policy and cultural values, proving that once radical movements repeatedly reshape our national landscape.